This is Mark, a.k.a. Grinning Fool, and you're listening to the Only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is Trey, a.k.a. Ashercon Zelo.
Trey went a banana. I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso, and I've got a banana for Trey.
Why, thank you.
Don't you know how to keep your mouth closed when you eat? Didn't your mommy monkey teach you any better?
My mommy monkey? That was good. Okay, and we're bringing you episode 77 of the Only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
And it's been a while since you and I recorded together.
I know, and you missed your line there in the script that you wanted me to write for you.
Oh, sorry. The podcast all about Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2 and all expansion packs.
So later in the show, we're going to have an interview with Mark, a.k.a. Grinning Fool. So if anybody's been around the community for long, for any amount of time, you know who that is. He was recently the winner of the AME 2007 Community Contribution Award for NWN2. And he's also going to give us some exclusive information, auto downloader, from him and Rob McGinnis.
Yay. Ooh. That should be cool.
Yeah.
I know, Granny.
Have you heard about that auto downloader?
Yes, I have. Actually, I interviewed Bobby Knoll and Justin Renard from Obsidian today, and they also talked about it. So you'll get some information from this interview, and you'll get some information from the one with them.
So, Michelle, what have you been up to? I haven't talked to you in a while.
I have been home improvement. I've been doing landscaping, painting, refinished cabinets, putting new fixtures and hardware in them. I am seriously considering going in and taking an evil sledgehammer to the pink retro bathroom I have, as the pink is making me ill. I feel like I'm in a bottle of Pepto-Bismol. It is so 1950s pink tile.
Shag carpet?
No. Pink ceramic tile over the whole bathroom. And then very top, where there is some wall, there are pink flowered wallpaper. Yeah, it's horrid. It's a great house, but oh man, is this bathroom pink.
I'm sure our listeners will have some comments about that.
I am female, but I do not like pink bathrooms.
So anything Neverwinter Nights related?
Well,
been working hard on the Halloween.
Yeah, mine and Johnny's interior is almost done. It's pretty twisted and sick, and definitely. Well, you know what? I'm not even going to say it's...
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Not even going to say, because you probably wouldn't believe me if I told you. But there have been awesome submissions. People really went all out on this little interior that they did. Some of them are quite long. Our very own Dave, Eat to Surf, has submitted one, and it's hilarious.
Is it scary?
I'm not saying anything other than I loved some of the lines. It was hilarious, but... He has voiceovers and everything.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And Skunk King submitted.
So where is the project? I think I remember seeing the deadline got pushed to the 17th.
Yeah, the deadline got pushed
for your submissions, and then I guess everything's in and.
Yeah, we have rolling. A couple of people who needed an extra week, and they will get implemented in an update. When we do updates, if there's any bug reports or anything like that, they'll get implemented then, added to it. But we had we're really surprised. We had like 34, 35 signups, and we did get over 75% of the submissions in. So, and really, truly, we expected half, and we exceeded that and we've got like 26 or 27 retreat houses to do. And the module itself right now is standing at 400 megabytes.
So is this something that a couple of people can get together and go trick-or-treating together, or is it just single player?
Oh, right now it is single player so that we can get out on time. They are looking into making it multiplayer so a bunch of people can run around and do a multiplayer trick-or-treat thing. Because I don't want to talk too much about it because we do have an interview next week with Jason.
Okay, sure.
And it is finished, sure. And we talked about all of this stuff.
Okay. Sorry. So make sure you join us next week when we'll have Jason Roy on the show, and we'll talk in-depth about the Halloween Bouncy Rock Project. And on Halloween at that.
Yeah, isn't that fantastic?
That's when the show will release. We'll be on Halloween, right? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I should have did some voiceovers.
I like the monkey better.
You like the what?
The monkey.
Oh, really? We got an email from Irk over at Greyhawk. I'll just read what he wrote to us. I've finished upgrading Irk's Greyhawk to 1.69, and the city is bigger and better than ever. New districts, new shops, new temples, all with the expanded 1.69 rules, and with DMFI and CEP 2.1 fully implemented. So if you want to check that out, they have some game forums over on the NeverWinterConnections.com forums, and I'll put the links to the show. I'll put the link to that in the show notes for you. They require CEB 2.1 and Maxim's Classic Dungeon Hack, and I'll put the link for that in there as well, which he put in the email. And they also are starting to schedule regular games of what they're calling the Next Generation Real Mord Mod. So I'll put the links for that as well. So have you played this one, Michelle? This is NWN1.
No, I haven't played anything in Neverwinter Nights 1 for quite a while.
Oh, you silly, silly girl.
When I formatted the computer, I just never reinstalled it.
Yeah.
The last thing I think I played Tiberius is Tiberius 209, Celeron's Gambit, and that's the end of... I am going to reinstall it, though, because Alexander is doing the part 4 and final series of his modules.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So also in the news, we wanted to talk about the NWN Vault Spotlight that they had last week, which is the Neverwinter Nights 2 Persistent World Server Balance Guidelines. MWM Dragon put together some guidelines on... Actually, I've heard of him before.
Yeah, he does custom content.
How to make sure your NWN2 persistent world is balanced. You and I have talked about how some things are unbalanced in certain areas of the gameplay. So, he put together a guide. It looks like back in June, but I guess they're doing a spotlight on it on the vault last week. So, but what this guide does is it lets you, I guess it gives you guidelines so that you can make sure that your persistent world or module or whatever is balanced out as far as, you know, hit points, armor classes, damage, you know, CR and ability scores and all that good jazz, all that D&D stuff. Well, I'm paraphrasing here, so don't laugh at me, young lady.
Not laughing at you, Troy. I'm laughing with you.
So check that out. We'll have the link in the show notes. And so if you run an NWN2 persistent world, that'll probably help you out.
See, I am laughing with you. Not at the same time. Mm-hmm. Stormo-Z here. Updates. Last weekend, a new preview of SOZ was released over on GameSpot, and we have that link for you to go read it.
So there's going to be wandering monsters. I wonder how that's going to work out.
Okay, wandering monsters, how exactly do they wander? I mean, just are they randomly walking around the areas?
I don't know. I was asking.
I have no idea. I am getting a reviewer's code to SOZ, so I guess I will figure it out.
Yeah, it says they have, like, in this article about Storm of the Year that got released this past weekend, by GameSpot. I guess they have, like, when they do their articles, they have a spiffy and iffy. And spiffy, under spiffy, was party system, new classes, interesting death system, overland map, beautiful artwork. And then under iffy was wandering monsters. And then new combat systems haven't worked out well in the past. So wandering monsters was under iffy. So I don't know what that means, but
I was kind of wondering.
Well, I was wandering a bunch of wandering monsters.
Oh my god. I'm going to start drinking before I start the show.
I haven't been drinking.
I said, I'm going to start drinking.
Why?
Why not?
I'm just high on life. Oh, do you know what it says right here?
What?
It says, in the end, most D&D games since the original Baldur's Gates just had players getting knocked out only to get up when the combat was over. However, the latest expansion pack, meaning Storm of Zaheer, I guess, won't be doing that.
Haha.
They're instituting a death system a bit closer to the original pen and paper. Paper and pencil game.
Well, that doesn't help me. I never played those.
So
if anybody out there has played the original pen and paper games, let us know what closer to that death system means.
Well, I think that means if you die, you die.
Oh, no. You know what? That'll make me cheat.
Yeah, like in most first-person shooters, you know, if you haven't saved, you got to go back to wherever the last save point was or wherever you saved.
I'm either
going to
hit that auto-save button like every 5 minutes or I'm going to start cheating.
Yeah. So that's probably what's going to happen. That's probably how it's going to work.
Save. Save often.
Anyway, new review that came out last Friday, which was a week ago, when you hear this. Go check it out. I think that's about all the news we had this week. Michelle Oliso?
New one. I thought I was the one that gave out names. It's hard to come up with one for Trey, though.
Easy. Just don't even try. Okay, a little bit of... Let's get down on some podcast updates. What do you say?
All right.
So we're still working on the new website and getting all the episodes moved over. I'm up into the 60s now, so I'm getting close to that. It's a little bit time-consuming moving all those files. And so hopefully we'll have something soon for you on that. Also, Michelle, you had mentioned several weeks ago you might be starting to do module reviews pretty soon.
Yes.
Do you think you might be doing that?
Yeah, I think I'll be starting to do those here shortly now that I'm back in the swing and full-time again.
Back in the shadow again.
God. Yeah, that.
Okay, so stay tuned for that. Those will probably be entertaining, listening to Michelle talk to herself.
You know, I think I'll make you get on and just, you know, have an interaction review.
Well, what you should do is tell us when you're going to... Oh, well, there'll be single player? There'll be single player mods, right?
Yeah, the single player mods are
Can
rough.
We... Maybe every once in a while we could do some multiplayer ones.
That would be cool. There's a lot of them out there that have multiplayer function.
And we can all... I think I've mentioned this before, wanting us to do this. Kind of do some multiplayer mods and then afterwards record us talking about it and reviewing it.
Yes, actually, you have brought that up a few times, but we've never executed
we
it.
We have never executed that.
Well, why is
what
that?
What we have here is a failure to
communicate.
So now time for our interview. Mark, a.k.a. Grinning Fool. If you've been around the community anytime, you know who Grinning Fool is because he's a big presence in the community as a representative, and he's also over on the chats all the time. He recently won the 2007 AME Golden Dragon Award for NWN2 Community Contribution. Yeah, say that five times real fast.
Go ahead.
And he tirelessly continues to support the community and NWN2 as the ears and eyes of Obsidian Entertainment as a community representative. Today, with the permission of Rob McGinnis, he joins us to answer some questions about NWN's two exciting new auto-downloader for NWN2 Persistent Worlds. we have with us this week Mark, a.k.a. Grinning Fool. And if you've been around the community for any time, you probably know who he is. He's always in the IRC chat rooms. And he recently won the 2007 AME Golden Dragon Award for NWN2 Community Contribution. And he tirelessly continues to support the community and NWN2. He has worked as a community rep on the tool set, answering questions and gathering up bugs on behalf of the community and making sure they reach the ears and eyes of Obsidian Entertainment. He has also enhanced and added to the tool set features through a number of very useful plugins. And today we also have him here to not only talk about his AME win, but also to answer some questions about NWN2's exciting new auto downloader for NWN2 Persistent Worlds. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
Why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm playing Neverwinter Nights since, I guess, about a year or so after it came out. I started in 2003 and booked for that. I didn't really get involved much with the community during Neverwinter Nights 1, and I kind of started to see the appeal of that in Neverwinter Nights 2 when I kind of stepped forward. Started to kind of offer some help where I could, and it grew from there.
Cool. Have you played through the OC and Mask of the Betrayer?
Yeah, a couple times.
Okay, cool. So first off, congrats on your AME Dragon win. So how did you hear you had won, and then how did it feel when you won that award?
Perhaps not surprisingly, I heard in the NWN2 CR channel on IRC.
Uh-huh.
Someone, I was kind of sitting there reading the chat, and someone said, "Oh, congratulations!" And I'm like, "What for? What did I do?" and someone gave me it. So it was surprising because I really, honestly, didn't expect to. I really felt some of the other competitors did a better, better work than I did. Surprised and pleasing. You know, it's always good to be recognized for the work you've done.
Actually, I think I was in that chat session when somebody said that, if I remember correctly.
I think you were too.
Or it might have been me that said that to you. I don't know. I remember seeing that one night. So as a community rep for NWN2, what is that all involved in? Or what does it still involve?
You mentioned most of it earlier. A lot of it's just gathering information for Obsidian, getting bug reports, trying to reproduce bugs, give them information on how to reproduce them. And just really just getting the community feedback to Obsidian so that they can file it away and act on it when they're able to.
So, so for those who don't know, why don't you tell us what this NWN2 auto downloader is and how it works?
Sure. Since, really simple, since Neverwinter Nights 1, but since my involvement with Neverwinter Nights 2 beta, the community's been speaking pretty loud and clear about what they wanted. As far as how to download content for online play. And Obsidian's kind of been aware of that all along, and it's only recently, these last few months, that they've been able to get something done about it. So what this does is it just provides a way for players to basically log on and play. And to go to 10 different places to download the files, all those downloads take place automatically now.
Wow, that sounds very interesting. Does this mean that Rob and Obsidian and NWN2 are trying to, I guess, bring the multiplayer aspect of NWN2 along a little bit better with this kind of tool?
I think it does, and I think, if you look at some of the comments Rob has made in the past, I think that's something he's been wanting to do for a while. And this is kind of their first major step in that direction. They made some minor changes, some fixes in the patches that were much needed for stability, things like that, but this is, I think, the first really thing that they've been able to get in there. And I think the reason is just to kind of help it along.
So exactly how will this work for the player?
Try to make it as low maintenance as we could for the player. So the player, in the GameSpy, they pick the server they're interested to, just like they normally do Neverwinter Nights 1 and Neverwinter Nights 2 today. Once they connect to that server, instead of having to first go out and download the files and everything, they just get taken to a download screen in-game. And then pretty much they get to wait a couple minutes. To be honest, with the size of Neverwinter Nights 2 downloads, probably more than a couple minutes while the files download. And then once
go get a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably a good idea. And then once the downloads are done, they just log in and start playing. So it really just kind of makes it seamless for them, so that the only thing they have to do is wait a little while, and then they can log in.
All right, and so no more, hey, got some new files you got to download, go get them. That'll automatically do it for them.
Right, put these in your HackPack directory, these in your TLK directory, these somewhere else. That all goes away.
Oh, wow, that's cool. So can the player do anything else while the downloads are in progress?
Yeah, there are things they can do. For Connect, they're actually kind of greeted with a part of the screen that shows information about the server that the server provides. So you know, background information about the current events, any rules the server might have. There's a place on the screen for all that to display, as long as the server set it up. So they can read through that while they're waiting. The downloads themselves are broken into two parts. Mm-hmm. The first part is what's needed for character creation, your hack packs, your custom content. Mm-hmm. And then the second part is your music and your maps. After the hack packs and other custom content download, you'll be able to create your character. So while you're waiting for the rest of it to download, you can actually start going through and playing with your character and getting it set up the way you like.
So can you cancel a download in the middle?
Yeah, you can cancel pretty much at any point. Of course, the downside of that is if you cancel, you can't. You
know, right.
So it's just a download, but a connection as well.
So exactly where are the downloaded files kept on the player's PC?
The files go underneath my documents, so nothing in the install folder or any of the locations. Basically, the modules, campaign, and music folders are where files get kept. So there's a folder for the module. Your welcome messages get kept in there. Mm-hmm. The campaigns keep any. If the server you're connecting to uses a campaign, that's where any campaign resources go. And the music, you know, holds music.
If they want to find the files, they're real easy to find. So.
Yep, and then also I should also mention that there's no support for override files. So there's no way the server can download something into Override at this point, and that kind of ties into something else coming out with this release, which is allowing, finally, after years of both Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2, uh-huh, hoping for this, is the ability to load hack packs for creation in multiplayer.
Cool.
So with that ability, there's no longer really a need for Override.
I think you've already mentioned a few of the different kind of files, like music and hack files and things like that, but exactly what files can be downloaded or auto-downloaded from the Persistent World server?
It's pretty much only the things that the game can use. So hack packs, talk files, music files, walk meshes, artwork for things like visual effects or you know, load screens, things like that. Pretty much anything the game can use directly will be downloaded. Anything it can't use will actually not be allowed for download. So if someone tries to, you know, force an executable file or something onto your machine, they're not going to be able to do that.
Cool. Now wait a second now. What about the PWC file? NWN2 uses a PWC file for Persistent Worlds, correct?
Right. And
you didn't mention that one.
That is still an option. If you're not using the auto-downloader, you can still continue to use PWC as you have been. Mm-hmm. But if you are using it, this does replace it.
Oh, okay. So this replaces your PWC file.
Right, and the difference is the PWC puts all the different files you need in one file, and the other breaks it up into a couple different locations.
Yeah, I know. I've played a couple of NWN2 Persistent Worlds, and those PWC files can get very huge.
Yeah, they can, and that's one of the reasons we did it this way, is because this way we can only, you know, make sure we only download the things that have changed and not everything every time there's a small change.
I know Adam Miller has created an installer that he uses for his Dark Water games, which I guess those are really single player, those aren't really Persistent Worlds, but how is this different from that, or is it kind of similar?
It has his module before there was an installer for it, so I haven't seen exactly what it does, but this basically relies on the server to tell the game what it is.
Oh, okay.
So the installer will say, here's everything I have, and here's where it has to go.
Okay.
In this case, the game asks the server, and the server says, okay, here are the files you need.
So it's kind of similar, but it's being controlled by the server.
Right.
how long will it take for the game to scan for content, you know, say, when you first connect?
Right, so when you first connect, the game does, it does check, basically to see, you know, like it finds out from the server what files you need, and then it checks to see if they're out of date, you know, if anything needs to be downloaded.
Right.
It actually depends on a few things, about how fast your computer is, how big the module is.
Right.
Testing so far for media, maybe 100 areas or so. I think we're looking about, I'm trying to remember, I think the last test thing was about 4 to 5 minutes. But like I said, it's really going to be based on your computer, how fast your computer, and also how the server is configured. There are things that, but we can talk about a bit later, there are things that the server app can do to get faster.
Okay. Yeah, so there's lots of variables that could affect how long it takes. So, wow, that sounds amazing for the player. And so what about the Persistent World server admin? How will it work for them?
The toolset, there is a toolset piece of this, and at the simplest level, it does the work for you. You basically press a couple buttons. It prepares the files for you. It doesn't upload them to the servers that are going to host them for your players.
Uh-huh.
But it does everything short of that. So it puts them all in one place. It updates the changed files and prepares them so you can upload them to wherever they have to go.
You said toolset. Do you mean the traditional NWN2 toolset or a toolset within?
It's a components that have been added to the Neverwinter Nights 2 toolset.
Okay. So the admin does have to use the toolset.
Really? the tools are there in the toolset, and it's probably going to be the easiest way to get started. But you know, one thing in this community is people, you know, a whole lot of different ways people like to do things, and these tools are built with that in mind. You know, the one option is to use a tool set, which is, we made it as straightforward as we could, as simple as we could.
Right.
But there's also a common library that the tool set uses that's also exposed to community modders, so they can write their own tools to do it, either command line or their own graphical interface, whatever they want to do. That was designed with the intent of allowing people to expand on that on their own, should they want to. And then the last part of that is even those files aren't required. If you want to run this on a Linux server or something like that to stage your files and prepare them,
uh-huh.
All the file formats we need and the compression formats, things like that, all that's going to be documented so you can use whatever tools you want to in the end.
So it's pretty flexible then.
Yep.
So where exactly is the downloaded content hosted? Does it support downloading content from places like the NW Vault?
To answer the second question for us, we tested it with the Vault, so it definitely works there. It'll probably work with pretty much any hosting service that just uses standard HTTP redirects to get you to the content.
Okay.
Outside of that, you can also put it on your own website, your own FTP servers or HTTP servers. It supports multiple servers if you want mirrors or if you want to put, you know, specific files on, you know, some files on one server, some on the other server. However you want to set it up, it does support that. The one thing that should be mentioned is that the server itself, the Neverwinter Nights server, does not host files, so you do have to find somewhere to put them that's not on a server. You know, if you really don't have a choice and you have to host it on the same machine that's running your server,
uh-huh.
There are some free lightweight HTTP servers you can use to just that if you need to. It's just, we'd recommend it does take a lot of bandwidth, and that's going to affect your players.
Right. So can the admin control when certain files are available for download?
To a limited extent, they can. What happens is when the preparation process runs, it creates an XML file, and that gets loaded with the module on the server. That updated XML file, which is used to tell the player what files are needed,
mm-hmm.
The server is reloaded with that updated file. At that point forward, the players will get those files.
Will the admin be able to optimize the speed of the downloads for the players of their Persistent World?
Yeah, there are a couple things they can do. The first one is probably the easier one to make a decision on, is if you use a smaller number of large files as opposed to a huge number of small files. I know something that we do on Persistent World, like a lot of files in the campaign folder, just, you know, individual files like graphic files, things like that. If you have a situation like that, it's going to be better to consolidate them and put them in a hack pack, because the more files the user has to check or the game has to check, the longer it's going to take for them. Outside of that, there are, and the server does control this, you can enable caching on the client side, and there are two different levels of caching. The first option is to keep it turned off completely, which by default that won't be the case, because when the player connects to download files, it actually scans up to four times, because it'll scan when the player first connects it, and each file as downloaded after it's decompressed, and then again before the player connects to make sure they haven't tampered with the files. So it can be very slow for the player if you don't at least enable some level of caching. For the truly paranoid, if you just have a very small server, you can disable it completely and no one's really going to notice. But for the larger servers, definitely you should have at least some caching turned on, the full scan of the files again. But if you get something like player is disconnected because the server went down, they time out or something, but they keep the game running, then caching, in a couple seconds, that subsequent scans, so it does save them some trouble. And that's the minimum we recommend do, and that's the default behavior.
And you don't recommend no caching?
Correct. Strongly recommend against that unless you've got a very small server or you are extremely paranoid and don't care how much you annoy your players. And the other option is file-based caching. The server, the game can also write to a local file to cache results of previous scans. And the cache itself is encrypted by a key that the server provides. And that is... that will give your players the best experience because then they almost never have to wait for anything to scan. But it is a little more risky from a security perspective. We could fake out the system.
Right. Okay, so now the question I know everybody's probably thinking about while they were listening to you answer all these other questions is, can this be used for downloading other content like modules?
Unfortunately, no. This was just for... purposes in worlds of multiplayer, so there was nothing, no consideration given for other content outside of that. I need to backtrack a little bit to the caching, which I'm sure we're all tired of, but I'll have to touch it anyway. The one last thing to mention is that individual files, the server admin can say, there's some files that I hack files in it. They can turn off caching for specific files to be a little bit more secure.
Oh, okay. So, wow, this sounds very exciting. So when can the community expect to have this auto-downloader for NWN2, Persistent Worlds?
Last I heard, Obsidian plans to include it in the first patch after the Storm of Zaheer's Day 1 patch, but no, that I'm aware of hasn't been announced for the actual availability yet.
I think the date that was announced for Storm of Zaheer was November 18th, I believe, so probably towards the end of November then.
Right, and we
usually the first patch comes out pretty soon after the release.
Right, and it is going to be not the very first patch, because the first one is the one they're going to release, which syncs up the people who have it, the people who don't have the expansion pack.
Okay.
So it's going to be the one after that.
The next one after that, okay.
Right.
So probably at the end of the year, probably, or the beginning of the next year.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So that's the auto-downloader. So, Mark, thanks for joining us. Do you have any parting words or thank yous that you might have for the AME or anyone else?
I do. Actually, I'd like to thank my second grade teacher and the hermit who... Wait, that's the wrong speech. I'm sorry. Wrong set of notes. I do have a few people. I mean, for the AME judges, of course, for the award, in spite of my protests against it, it is kind of a thrill spending my name up there with Adam Miller, Robinson Workshop, and the other folks who deservedly won those awards as well. The Godine Persistent World, the community there for being very patient while I disappeared without telling them why all summer. and also, we probably set the record for the longest not quite in beta yet Persistent World out there.
Uh-huh.
So for them, for kind of and seeing it through, and this time I do really mean it. We're almost to beta finally.
So is this the world that you got to test this auto-downloader on?
This is mostly what I've been using for testing. I've made some testing modules as well, but because of the size of this, it's been a kind of a good test bed for a lot of this.
What's the name of that, or can you tell us?
The world itself is Caladine.
Caladine.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't really have any questions about your persistent world, did we?
No, that's all right. It's
we can have you on again, and you can talk about just your Kaladin. How's that sound?
Sounds great. So right now, all I can say, we're not quite in beta yet, so nothing yet. Sorry.
Okay. So when you go live, let us know, and we'll have you back on.
Yeah, and we are planning that. Well, okay. So I mean, we were actually planning it for February of 2007, but.
Okay, you're a little late, dude.
Yeah, just a little behind. we are really planning it for late November this year.
Okay, cool. We'll look forward. So when you get closer to that, let us know, and we'll have you back on, and we'll just talk about your persistent world. All right, Mark. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on with us.
Yeah, thanks for
and thank you really for contacting us and letting us know that you wanted to talk about this. It was great. Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate it, Mark.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
And we're back. I love doing that.
Do it again.
And we're back.
Okay, now do it again with a laugh.
I don't know if I can.
There you go.
Okay. See, I can't even talk. And we're back. Your butt. Quit it.
Hey, that auto-download for NWT sounds pretty cool.
Yes, it does.
I think that this shows that NWN2 is, you know, is also showing that they're dedicated to the multiplayer aspect of NWN2. And I think it takes it to the next level.
You think so?
Yep.
Well, I like the fact that, you know, a lot of big MMOs and stuff do that now, that anything that's updated and implemented into the games. Nice to see that the persistent worlds and stuff are going to be able to do this now. That's it for this week. Don't forget, you can purchase your Neverwinter Nights podcast t-shirts by going to our Cafe Press store.
Cafe Press store?
You see, Cafe.
You can go to our Cafe Press store.
That's all, folks. Located at cafepress.com/NWN podcast. Or clicking on the t-shirt link on our front page.
So until next week.
Get in game.
And level up, level up, level up, level up, level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
Playing Neverwinter Nights since about 2003. I'm sorry, I have a dog picking up something tight here right now.
That's great.
Just
okay. There's a blooper right there, dude.
It's Mark, just Mark one of those things that breaks your stride.
Green pool is now getting licked.
Well, it wasn't so much me as the dog licking himself in a rather intimate. Right next to the computer.
Oh,
this could be one of those nights, isn't it? All right.
That's funky comodina.
It's driving me bonkers, because if I just wiggle it a little bit, it comes back in.
Oh, really?
So I have a little during the show. Are you making fun of me?
I would never make fun of you. What are you talking
Liar.
About? Liar. What are you talking about?
You're lying. Can you hear me this time?
Yes, I can. You silly girl.
Huh?
I said you silly, silly girl.
I'm not silly.
You can't say anything, can you?
Where did that come from?
In that article, it talks about wandering monsters.
Yeah, I've never read it.
Okay. You're supposed to go like, oh, Wandering Monsters. Huh?
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay,
work.
Redo. Oh, God. Oh, shoot.
Forrest, what are you in the Army for? To do what you asked me to do, dear drill sergeant.
You sound like Gomer Pyle.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't Forrest. That was Gomer
Pyle. That was
Pyle.
So Gomer Pyle.
Golly, Sarge. Shazam.
But he sings so beautifully.